it's become a yearly practice that on the earth site of my uncle's Hatzal, that we meet together, discuss some of the studies of Torah, and then talk about his life. In the previous years, I discussed the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer. This year I decided that instead of discussing Sfiras Omer, I'll discuss some aspects regarding Pesach, regarding the Seder, even though it's not over Yom HaBatal Karbano. It's still Torah. Now, in the Haggadah, it says, Maisa v'Rabbi Elezer, Rabbi Shua v'Rabbi Elezer ben Uzziah, v'Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfa, Shahayim Subin b'Bnei Brak, v'Hayim Misaprin b'Yitzias Mitzrayim Kolosa Halayla, Ad Shabot Tamidehem v'Amru Lahem, Rabbi Senu Higiyaz Man Kriyash Mashal Shacharis. So it mentions the incident that these Tanoim were all gathered together and they were discussing the Tanoim who were gathered together, they were discussing the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And they were discussing it until morning broke and the Talmidim came in. And they said, for he gives man kriyash mashal shachris. And the question that many poskim, many ask, is among the Tanoim was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And we know that there is a machlokis between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva as to how long a person can eat the Karban Pesach. In other words, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's shita is that the Karban Pesach can be eaten until Chatzos. And the shita of Rabbi Akiva is that the Karban Pesach can be eaten all night. And the Gemara in Pesachim tells us that whatever is true about Karban Pesach is also true about matzah. And we know that the time for the mitzvah of matzah, of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, of discussing the exodus from Egypt, that's dependent upon the mitzvah of matzah. So the question is, okay, they went all night long, discussing. So, but we have to assume that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah probably realized that it was after Chatzos. And according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, there was no more mitzvah, there no longer was a mitzvah of matzah, there was no longer a mitzvah of Karban Pesach, and there was no longer a mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's not mistaber that he didn't realize that about half the night, an hour, 2 hours, we understand. But half the night, that's difficult to assume. And it's because of that that the Mishkan Es Yaakov says that he uses this as a raya, as a proof, that ultimately Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov changed his mind. And he was molded to Rabbi Akiva and to the Chachamim, and there is a machlokus we've shown him. How we paskin, whether we paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that Karban Pesach is until Chatzos, or we paskin that you could re-eat the Karban Pesach all night long. So, and this is a question that almost all the Mefarshim, when I say all the Mefarshim, I'm not talking about the Rishon. I'm talking about the Achronim, but the, even the Lamdash Achronim, actually especially the Lamdash Achronim, they all ask this question, and more or less, they more or less give the same teretz. And my uncle among them, it gave a teretz that actually Sipu Yetzias Mitzrayim contains both a mitzvah discussing the halachos of Pesach, that we have all kinds of Tosefta's that indicate that, and there is talking about the event of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So as far as the event of Yetzias Mitzrayim is concerned, they say that you can go even later. But the halachas of Pesach is only as long as the mitzvos are shayach. Okay, I have a lot of trouble with that teretz. And I want to suggest a different teretz. And it'll be based on something that I wrote years ago in a certain yesod. That yesod, not in regard to this question, was mentioned, now that they are publishing my uncle's Torah, and I so far I've seen I don't know how many versions of my uncle's Haggadah. Seems like everybody is publishing another version of my uncle's Haggadah. And each parish is getting more expensive, but Rabbi Ginnack's Haggadah that was put out by the OU, so he mentions this yesod in regard to a different question in the name of my uncle, and it's a yesod that I mentioned this year, those who attend my daily shiur. But I mentioned my daily shiur. But there's another question that I want to mention. There is a Ramah. The Ramah discusses the question, how do we paskin? So the Ramah says that a person should say the second half of Hallel before Chatzos, before midnight. In other words, at least l'chatchila, he's machmir. For the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Azariah, that you should say the second half of Hallel. Why? Because Hallel is part of the mitzvah of Sipu Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Sipu Yetzias Mitzrayim is dependent upon the mitzvah of matzah, and the mitzvah of matzah is dependent on the zman, on the time that one could fulfill the mitzvah of eating the Korban Pesach. So the Rambam says that a person should say the hallel before Chatzos. But there seems to be a machlokus between the Rav Shulchan Aruch, the Baal HaTanya, and the Gra in understanding that. The Baal HaTanya understands the Ramah Pshuto Kamashmo. He understood that according to the Ramah, the reason a person should finish before Chatzos is because it's part of Sipu Yetzias Mitzrayim, and if the mitzvah of Sipu Yetzias Mitzrayim is only until Chatzos, so the Hallel should be finished by that time also. And the Mishnah Berurah, interestingly, he brings down what the Baal HaTanya says. But the Gra says something altogether different. He explains the Ramah. He says the reason you have to finish Hallel before Chatzos is because after Hallel you have the last of the Arba Kosos. And the last of the Arba Kosos, that has to be before Chatzos, because that's Chayrus. So in other words, it's not because of the Hallel that it has to be before Chatzos. From the perspective of the Hallel, let's say if there is no wine in town. So, in a way the brother shot in the Ramah, you could say the Hallel after Chatzos. The whole reason why you have to finish the challah before Chatzos, the Gra says according to the Ramah, is because after the challah we have Dalek Chosos, and the Dalek Chosos has to be before Chatzos. But the question is, why does it have to be based on the merits of the Dalek Chosos? Why isn't it the fact that the challah, and you hear that it's not because of the arise of the Rabbanim, because Dalek Chosos is the Rabbanim. So it has nothing to do with Tosfos in the Gil. So why is it that the Hallel has to be finished before midnight? Why is it that the Hallel has to be finished before midnight only because of the Dalek Tosfos? Why not? Because of the Hallel itself. Now, there is a Gemara. The Gemara in Pesachim discusses about Hesema. And the Itmar Mishmeid and Rav Nachman, there was one, it was said in the name of Rav Nachman that the first two cups of the Dalek Chosos have to be the Hesema. You have to lean. And Itmar Mishmeid and Rav Nachman, and others said in the name of Rav Nachman that only the last two cups. And then the Gemara says, what's the reason? What's the reason of the one who says that the first two cups require leaning and the last two cups don't require leaning? So the Gemara says that the reason is because at the beginning of the Haggadah, the Cheres begins. And by the last two cups, so, Mahabe Habe, what happened already. Literal translation. Mahabe Habe, what does that mean? Mahabe Habe, what does it mean? Mahabe Habe. And here the Kamaskal Acheris, what does all that mean? Now, I think we could, now, my uncle asked a certain question against Rashi. Rashi says about lechem that the Gemara says in Pesachim lechem oni, matzah's lechem oni. What does it mean, matzah's lechem oni? So the drush is lechem sha'onanim olav dvarim harbe. It's matzah is something that we say or answer or say a lot of things over it, and the question is. So Rashi says, what does it mean? He says, Ligmor is a halo, to finish the halo, and also the Haggadah. You have to recite the halo and the Haggadah over the matzah. So my uncle asked a question that he said, okay, Bishlomo, the first half of halo. First half of halo, we understand. But the second half of halo, we already ate the matzah. So my uncle said, when it says ligmor es halo, and by the way, the Brisker Rav did not learn pshat that way. The Brisker Rav learned pshat, ligmor es halo, he took it very literally. He said that even for the second half of halo, you need matzah on the table. That's how he understood Rashi. I saw it. Again, depending which sefer you read, some mention the name of the Brisker Rav, some mention the name of his son Rav David, but whatever it is, they learned. But my uncle learned not that way. My uncle learned that Ligmor is Olav is Ahala Belomer Haggadah, to say the Haggadah, it means to finish the first half of Halah. Now, so my uncle said there is a distinction between the first half of Halah and the second half of Halo. What's the distinction? The distinction is the following. The first half of Halo, that's based on Chayav Adam Liros Hasatzmo Kilu Hu Yatzah Mishiva Mitzrayim. That person, Pesach night, is not to be treated just as an anniversary. But Pesach night, the person has to see himself as if he just left. He has to act as if he just left for Egypt. Now, he says, High Goan also shows that there is a distinction between Hallel that we say Pesach night at the Seder and Hallel that we say regularly in Shul. Rav High Goan says, Hallel that we say in Shul, that's the Torah's Kriya. Hallel that we say Pesach night, that's the Torah's Shira. What does all that mean? So, the explanation I heard from my father, my uncle said the same thing, is that Shira, the idea of Shira is that it's B'Torah's Hodah. In other words, we give thanks. And Kriya, that's praise. That's primarily praise. In other words, if someone does me a favor, so I thank him. Afterwards, he's a nice person. I remember that he did me favors. So for the rest of my life, I'll go around praising him. But at the time that he did the favor, I thank him. So the first half of Hallel is, this is a svara that I used to explain the Gemara. The first half of Hallel is an expression of thanks. Because we have to act as if the miracle of the Exodus took place right now. The second half of Hallel, that's only praising God. So from the perspective that since it's only praising God, it's not a halacha of one having to see themselves as if the miracle took place now. I'm back in the present. When I do the second half of Hallel, I'm in the present. So that doesn't have to be over the matzah. Lechem shon in the malav dvarim harbe. Lechem shon malav dvarim harbe. My uncle said that's only if it's when I'm saying things that are part of being at the time of the Exodus. If Chayavod and Miros the Sashmo Kiliyotza Mishiva Mitzrayim, that it took place right now. But the second half of Hallel, I'm right here. I'm back to the present. There is no special halacha that it has to be over Mitzrayim. Now, I think with that, we could answer, with that Yisod, we can answer all the questions. In terms of the Gemara said the first two cups, the Kamaskal Acheres, the Mishkoi Acheres, there are two Girsas, and the second two cups, Matahave Have. What does that mean? Now it's Kamin Chomer. My uncle didn't apply, at least the way they write, he didn't mention that. But it's the simple reading of the Gemara. In other words, the first half of Hallel, that's when the Cheres took place. So that, on its own merits, has to be four Chatzos. The second half of Hallel, that we're in the present. So that could, on its own merits, it could be after Chatzos. But the reason, so the Gemara says, the reason we have to do it before Chatzos is because of the fourth cup that comes after the Hallel. That's Chavis. That's part of Chayav Adam Miros Asatzmo Kliyotzim and Shiva Mitzrayim. The Rambam says, when he talks about the Dalet Kosos, he associates it with the halacha of Chayavotim Niros Asatzmo Kiliyotzim Yeshiva Mitzrayim. So the Gra is explained and the Gemara is explained. And I think we could explain also the Rebbe Lezer. In other words, Pesach night, there is a double chiyuv. One is a chiyuv, a requirement to make believe that we're at the time of the Exodus. where Chayavata Neros Hazakim Kiliyatz was right, we have to react as if the miracle took place right now. But then, we shift. We go back in time. Actually, we go back to the present. We start with the past. We go to the past, and then we go into the present. There are a lot of people that they can say thank you, but they have trouble praising later on. They forget. So Memela, there's two mitzvahs. One mitzvah is saying thank you. We go into the past. And that has to be before Chatzos. But the halacha of Shvach, of praising, that doesn't have to be before Chatzos. So it's not only the Hallel that can be divided. When we say the Haggadah, when we say, talk about the story of the Exodus, we're also saying it in a form of praise. You know, one of the questions is about why is it that we read Parshas Bikurim? Why don't we read the Chumash Mos? After all, Chumash Mos tells us about the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim as it's transpiring, as it's happening. Why? The answer is, the Haggadah, on one hand it's limud, it's teaching. On the other hand, it's giving praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Parsha Bikurim was said when someone brought the first fruits to Yerushalayim, it was said as a praise. So we take each sentence of Parshas Bikurim, which is a praise in its essence, and we say it, and then we interpret each pasuk with the Maimorei Chazal that are associated with it. So the essence of Haggadah is giving praise. The Rishonim mention it. The Chinuch says it. The Rambam in Sefer Mitzvah says it. But it's not just the Hallel that's the praise. The Haggadah itself is the praise. But we have two types of praise. We have praise where we try to act as if we're standing there at the moment of the miracle. And we have praise, and we go back to the, go return to the present. If I could return to the past, whatever, return to the future, okay. So Memela, we can say like this, even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that Karban Pesach has to be before Chatzos, and therefore Matzah has to be before Chatzos, and therefore Sipa Yetzias Mitzrayim has to be before Chatzos. That's when we talk about Sipa Yetzias Mitzrayim as a form of thanks. But Kol Hamarba L'Sakri Yetzias Mitzrayim Hareza Meshubach. It doesn't, you have to, it requires us, we take a trip through time. First we go back in time, and then we go forward in time. We go back to the present. And so we have to talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim from both perspectives. So from the perspective of going back to the past, that's only till Chatzos, according to Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. But talking, looking back at Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's even from the perspective of the present. Now, what I would like to discuss is what is the significance of Chayav Adam Liros Hasatzmo Kiliyatz Mitzrayim? Why does the Torah require us? I say sometimes person gets the impression that Pesach is a psychiatrist's holiday. First of all, getting ready for Pesach, you have to be obsessive compulsive, and then and Pesach at night, you have to hallucinate. So the question is, why is it so important to hallucinate? Why is it that we have to see ourselves
as if we went out from Mitzrayim. Why is that important? I think, now every year, Pesach, we read Shir Hashirim. Some even have a minhag, custom, to read Shir Hashirim at, some read Shir Hashirim after the Seder. But Shabbos, Chol HaMoed, we read Shir Hashirim in Shul. The question is, and Kehelis is read on Sukkos. Why is Shir Hashirim read on Pesach? Now, when you take a look at Shir Hashirim, Rashi already asked the question. Shir Hashirim Asher L'Shlomo, but the other two Sfarim that Shlomo wrote, it's Kehelis ben David and Mishlei ben David. But when it came to Shir Hashirim, David is not mentioned at all. Why is it that way? So Rashi gives a certain teretz. I want to suggest another answer. I could, if I want, I could read it into Rashi also. I think every Jew, take a look at when Yaakov Avinu had his dream. And in the dream he saw a sulam mutzavatsa v'rosha magia shemaima, and malachei Elohim olim v'yordim. And then God appeared to him, and God said, I'm the God of your father Abraham, and the God of your father Yitzchak. And then Yaakov takes an oath. In Yi Elikim and Madi, if God will be with me, Yishmarani b'derech hazeh asher anochi holeth, and will watch over me in this path that I'm going. V'nasan v'lechem lechol, he'll give me bread to eat, to beg at lubosh, and clothes to wear. V'shafti b'sholom abeisavi, and I return to my father's house in peace. V'haya Hashem v'lechem, God will be for me a God. So the question, Rashi raises the question. Again, Rashi gives a different answer. What is it? Yaakov Avinu, the Bechir Avos, he's making a deal with God. God, you be good with me, I'll be good with you. But if you're not good with me, forget it. It's finished. How is it possible to consider such a possibility? But the answer is very simple. Every Jew has a double relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On one hand, and we say in Shemoneh Esrei, we say Elokeinu, God is our God. We have a relationship with God based on the perception of God in our lives. And it's Elokei Avoseinu, the God of our ancestors. And we have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu based on the perception of God in the life of our ancestors. And Yaakov Avinu, when God appeared to Yaakov Avinu, until this point, Yaakov resided in the tent of Yitzchak. Spiritually, Yitzchak dominated this tent. The primary relationship that Yaakov Avinu had was Elokei Avi Yitzchak, Elokei Avi Avram, the God of my father Yitzchak, the God of my father Avram. But then, now he's forced to leave his father's house. He says, unfortunately, I have to leave, but I'm going to use this opportunity to strengthen my personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I'm not going to need a Kriyas Yamsuf to establish my personal relationship. The things that everybody takes for granted, in Yiyel, Akim, Mamadi, Yishmarani, B'tarach, Asher, Anofi, Holeth, V'nasan Lilecha Lachol, he gives me bread to eat, to beg and lubosh, and clothes to wear. V'shafti b'sholom b'sovni, now return to my father's house in peace. Things that we all take for granted. V'haya Hashem lile l'kim, I will have my personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, I will strengthen my personal relationship. It won't just be Elokei Avi Avram, Elokei Avi Yitzchak, but it'll be Elokei Yaakov as well. This is what Yaakov Avinu was saying. And I think the personal relationship, that's a love relationship.
You know, love, what's essential to love relationships? It's perhaps out of date. It's not the special things, but it's the things that everybody takes for granted. Recognition of the things that take for granted. That's what Yaakov Avinu said.
Give me bread to eat, who bed and will boast, and clothes to wear. B'shafti v'shalom b'savi v'hai Hashem li le'olakim.
So, this is, what is Shir HaShirim? Shir HaShirim represents the love relationship. Mishlei, Divrei Mishlei ben David. Rashi says, Musar b'tochacha. Musar, Shma b'ni Musar avicha. Musar is something that's given over from father to son, from Rebbe to Talmud. That represents a certain relationship. Ethics of the fathers, we call it. Maseches Avos. That's something that's given over from generation to generation. That's Mishlei. Divrei Mishlei ben David. What's Keheles? Keheles. Sof Dover HaKol Nishma Es Elokim Yirei. Fear of God, that's the sum total of everything, according to Keheles. So
how does Yaakov refer to God? Pachad Avi Yitzchak.
Fear of God is something that's given over from father to son. Love of God. Love is a personal relationship. There it's just Shir HaShirim Asher L'Shlomo.
Keheles is Keheles ben David. Mishlei is Mishlei ben David.
But Shir HaShirim is Shir HaShirim Asher L'Shlomo. It's a personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think. Now, what was HaKadosh Baruch Hu expressing when they said, Avarti Be'eretz Mitzrayim, Aniva lo Malach, Aniva lo Ashliach, Aniva lo Sarav. When we say that in the Haggadah, what are we talking about?
What did God want to do? What did God want to do at Yetzias Mitzrayim?
At Yetzias Mitzrayim, God wanted to establish not just a relationship with the Yovos.
When Moshe Rabbeinu first came to Klal Yisrael, and he introduced himself as the one who's going to act as the representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
So he came in the name of the God of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov.
He came to fulfill the Haftacha, the commitment that God gave to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov.
But when he came, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want that there should be just that relationship. He didn't want that it should be that, just that relationship. He wanted a relationship that had a personal relationship also. And it's Aniva lo Malach, Aniva lo Sarif, Aniva lo Hashaliach.
It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'atzmo. Both relationships are important.
And that was the part of the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But Klal Yisrael, in a sense, did not realize that until Klal Yisrael did not realize that until the Yam. By Kriyas Yamsuf, they said, Zekeli van Vehu Elokeyovi varomemenhu.
At the Yam, they first understood that their relationship was not just Elokeyovi, the God of my ancestors, but it was a personal relationship as well.
Now it's very interesting. We say Hallel, why? Because Chayav Adam Liros is Atzmo. But according, I'm not saying that there aren't Medrashim that disagree, but according to the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, Klal Yisrael did not say Hallel when they went out of Yitzrayim. Gemara Megillah tells us it's a Gnai. And so the question is,
so why do we do it? Chayav Adam Liros is Atzmo.
We have to look back. We have to make believe we were there.
They didn't say hallo. Why do we say hallo? The answer is, the Gemara says in 79. In other words, sometimes when we look back, I think there are two reasons why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Chayav Adam Liras Asasma. On one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Chayav Adam, because that the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was not only to reinforce the relationship of Elokei Avoseinu, but it was to create the relationship of Elokeinu. Zekei Livan Vehu. Ani V'lo HaShaliach. It's a matter of fact, except for one part, which just, by the way, the mention of the pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu isn't even mentioned in the Haggadah. The Rambam says that a Ben Chacham, you can mention to him Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Because with a Ben Chacham, he'll understand that it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mechodo V'yatzmo. But the Nusach Haggadah, Moshe Rabbeinu isn't mentioned. Why? It's the personal relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Klal Yisrael. And that's why I think Shir HaShirim is said on Pesach. Because Pesach is that time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, well, the first days of Pesach, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu emphasized Ani Hashem, Ani V'lo HaShaliach. He wanted a personal relationship. And by Shvi Shal Pesach, when the Jews had the said the Shira, it was that Keli Van Behu Keyavi Barum Menu. It was both relationships. I think when we say hallow, standing in the present, the second half of hallow, that's years later. That's based on Elokei Avoseinu for the event, something that was transmitted to us. Not something that we experienced. A personal relationship that requires experience. But I think there's another thing. We have to go back. When we re-experience Yetzias Mitzrayim, we're not imitating the Jewish people when they left. We have to act in the way they should have acted. It might not be their fault. Hindsight is 20/20 vision. But knowing what we know about the future, we have to go back and act how we acted. Now, we say, what's the idea? In Mitzrayim, they saw just a finger. Rav Yossi Haglili. In Aliyam, they saw a hand. Yara Chazaka. What's the difference between a finger and a hand? I once heard from my father, a finger represents an isolated thing. A hand represents the full picture. I think the Jewish people at the time, Yetzias Mitzrayim, they only saw Etz Malakim. The same thing that Chatume Mitzrayim saw. And to some degree, it might have been because of the influence of the Chatume Mitzrayim. When you're an Eved, you think it's your master's thing. But when Kriyas Yamsuf took place, they saw the Yara Chazaka. And that's why they were able to say hallow. They saw a whole different, it wasn't just certain incidents, it was a whole relationship that they saw. So when we re-experience Yetzias Mitzrayim, we do it as a tikkun, and we say the hallow. Because we view it not just from our Esser Makos, but we view it from the perspective of a whole relationship. We see the whole picture. The picture we should have seen years ago. Now, I'd like to, using this thought, I'd like to speak about my uncle. My uncle, on one hand, perhaps more than any other Rosh Hashiva, represented this concept of Masoret. When he set over Chaim, it wasn't something that he saw in the Sefer. And you were able to tell it when he set it over. I remember this incident with my aunt, my father, a certain fellow who thought he was smart. Once went over to my father, was standing there, and he said to my father, "They say all this thing in Reb Chaim's name." He says, "I don't believe that Reb Chaim ever said it." So my father said to him, "Not only he said it, but I'll tell you the exact words he used when he said it." And you felt it wasn't just the Sefer. When he gave over the Chedushim of Reb Chaim, my grandfather's Chedushim, he wasn't just telling you over a Svara you saw in the Sefer. He wasn't telling you over just the Shir. But you almost thought that you were hearing Reb Chaim say it. You felt an attachment. There was the Mesoros Avos. Matter of fact, sometimes you read the Chiddushei Torah. I find it humorous, but it's interesting. Of some of my uncle's Talmidim, when they write about Reb Chaim, they write about Reb Chaim as Reb Chaim was their great-grandfather. Because it wasn't just the Chiddush that Reb Chaim gave. Where did they get that from? They got that from my uncle. But besides that, he did not limit himself, just as Reb Chaim did not limit himself. He had a whole perspective. When you read the Shirim of my uncle, there's like a light that shines. I don't think today there is any Rosh Yeshiva Sefer that is used more in terms of Shiurim than the Sfarim that are coming out now from my uncle's Talmidim. Some people try to hide it, but it's well known. It's well known that those are the Sfarim that are used. The Sfarim, and I want to point out, the Sfarim, when I was a young boy, I was in yeshiva. So what were the Sfarim that were used? The Sfarim that were used were Baruch Be'er, the Rosh Yeshivas of Europe. To a large degree, certainly to the role those Sfarim played in those days, the central role that they played, I don't see that happening anymore. I'm not saying that people don't look in the Sfarim. With my uncle, it's very interesting. The more time passes, the more his Torah is used. Now there are not just his Talmidim, but his Talmidim's Talmidim are putting out Sfarim of his Kedushim. And in his name. There were people that always pulled out his Kedushim, but in their own name. But matter of fact, I'm not going to say who it was, but there's a certain person, he was a Gadol, but when my uncle was in Eretz Yisrael, probably in the 30s. He was there for a short while. He gave shiurim, were attended by people all over. And at that time he met with Rav Cook, and Rav Cook told his son
Tzvi Yehuda, after talking to my uncle, the Reb Chaim Medaber Mitol Verona. Remember Reb Chaim from Volozhin. So my uncle was a young man at the time. And the shiurim were attended by the London Neretz Yisrael every shiur. Many people attended. And then a certain person who was recognized, he's not here anymore, he more or less published all the shiurim in his own name. With some shiurim, but the whole cipher he published was in my uncle's shiurim. And this person was a Talmud in Chevron Yeshiva previously. So the Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron Yeshiva said to him, he said, he was a little upset because it wasn't good sefer. And by the way, this person, even his own tradition were also very good. It's not just that he took my uncle's tradition. He happens to know, he not only knows which tradition are good, but he said good tradition also. So, and the sefer made a big impact. So Reb Chatzkel Sarna was a little upset. He said, why didn't you write that you were a Talmud in Chevron Yeshiva? So he said, well, Moshe Mordechai Epstein, who was Reb Chatzkel Sarna's father-in-law, in his sefer, he didn't write that he was a Talmud in Volozhin. So Reb Chatzkel Sarna said to him, because Reb Chatzkel Sarna knew it was my uncle's Torah, he said to him, everybody says that what you write, you steal. I see even what you don't write, you also steal. So my uncle's Torah was, even when he was a young man, was taken. I'm not going to mention the list of people who spent time with my uncle, either attended his shiurim or whatever it was, and wrote over. There's a list of people who are extremely well known. Now. His Torah is coming out in his own name. It's not just people that are using it. And as time passes on, his Torah is being used more and more, not less and less. So in a sense, he created this idea of Mesoras Ha'avos, Mesoras HaRebbeim, whatever you want to call it. With Moshe Kibbutz Tarmi Sam Sarli Shul, it continues being given over from generation to generation. And that Mesorah grows. But the Chedushim, if one reads it, you know, to a large degree, when you read Yeshiva Shetorah, they're more or less the Chedushim. They used to say, if you go on a straight path, you meet a lot of people. That was the reason given. It's very interesting. When you read my uncle's Torah, it's a straight path, but you only meet people after you read the saying the same thing after you read his Torah and after they read his Torah. He opened up, like he opened up the window and light came in. That's the nature of his Torah. So on one hand, he had the Mesoras Avos, Reb Chaim's tradition, and my grandfather's tradition. And matter of fact, I remember when he was already sick, my father went to visit him, and he was not able to communicate well. And my father told me that my uncle was trying to tell him over Akasha that Reb Chaim Ozer had asked him, that my uncle considered to be a very special kasha, very, very good svara. The kasha was based on a very good svara. But unfortunately, because of his sickness, my uncle was not able to give over what the kasha was. And at that time I was thinking that my uncle's sickness is not only, it's not only that he's not able to give over his kedushin, but he knew so much of other people's tradition. He had both. It was Elokei Avoseinu, and it was Elokeinu. He had his personal relationship with Divine Torah also. And certainly when he's no longer here, those two relationships became somewhat minimized in Limud HaTorah. But I want to say another thing. This might be controversial. Some people might be upset. I want to talk about my uncle's relationship regarding Eretz Yisrael. If you read my uncle's books, when I say books, I'm talking about the English story. So he talks there about the approaches of three Rishonim towards Eretz Yisrael. He talks about Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, that he was just, the only word I could use is madly in love with Eretz Yisrael. Totally emotional. Beyond being rational. My father would always say, regard Eretz Yisrael, it's Eretz Chenda. It's something beyond reason has to be our attitude towards Eretz Yisrael. And then he said, a little bit less emotional and more rational in terms of logic, halacha, is the approach of the Ramban towards Eretz Yisrael. You read the Ramban on Chumash, how he always gives special attributes to Eretz Yisrael. He says, and then the third approach is the Rambam's approach. My uncle would always mention the fact that if you look in the Mara Nevuchim, the Rambam mentions Eretz Yisrael a couple times, mostly to say this, the Arba Minim were chosen because these are things that grew a lot in Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't the cornerstone of the Rambam's Machshava. Of course, Eretz Yisrael plays a great role in halacha. But for the Rambam, Eretz Yisrael was not the Yisod HaYisodos, the way it was for Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. The truth, I think, if I was to... My uncle, even though he supported religious Zionism, was present for religious Zionists. But he wasn't what I would call an emotional Zionist. My father was more emotionally tied to Eretz Yisrael. I think, and when you read what my uncle says, when he talks about the three approaches to Eretz Yisrael, you get the sense that he's identifying with the Rambam's approach. But why is it that he felt so strongly? He wasn't so emotionally attached. He went once to Eretz Yisrael in the 1930s, was there for a short time, and never went again. If I was to say, Rabbi Yehuda Levy's approach, if they want a contemporary figure, it was Rav Kook, had Rabbi Yehuda Levy's approach. My uncle was more inclined, not because it was the Rambam, but he was more inclined to that approach independently. I think...
Did you say what the Rambam's approach was?
The Rambam, Eretz Yisrael, there were halachas about Eretz Yisrael, but it wasn't such an emotional thing in the Rambam. I think he was concerned about Eretz Yisrael, but what I think it was concern for Klal Yisrael. After the Shoah, after the Holocaust, he came to realize that the Jewish people cannot be totally dependent on Umos Olam. And this wasn't an approach that was accepted at that time in the yeshiva world. But my uncle was not, his focus was not just the yeshiva world. He was concerned about his talmidim.
but he was concerned about Klal Yisrael, about every Jew.
No, in the Arba Bonim, this is just Drush I'm saying, but the, I don't think it's shot. Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha, Echad Tam, Echad Tam, Echad Tam. Why does it say Hasheni, Hashlishi, Yerudi? The answer is there's no Sheni, there's no Shlishi. Everybody has to be an Echad. We can't be just concerned about the Yeshivisha community. Yeshivisha community is very important. And perhaps incendiary is more important. But we have to be concerned about all Klal Yisrael. And that was my uncle's approach. My uncle's approach, why did he work on behalf of the establishment of the State of Israel? It wasn't because he had the Rav Kook approach. He didn't. I'm not finding fault with Rav Kook. Personally, I'm probably more inclined to that approach. But he was concerned about the Jewish people. What's going to happen to the people in the deep three camps? And in retrospect, you see the Arabs are killing each other. Can you imagine if the Jewish people would be under their control, what they would do to the Jewish people? In the old days, they were under the British and whatever, not that they were so great either. And this wasn't always my uncle's approach. This approach came as a result of the Shoah, as a result of the Holocaust. He was able to say, hey, we have to make a tikkun. He was able to say, you know, we learn later on, we learn things that gives us a new perception of what we should have seen. No one, we don't have Nevi'im today, but we have to be able to learn from history. My father would always mention, I think, the Sefer Haredim. Schor Yemos Olam Shninu Benos Tor B'Dor. There's a mitzvah, Sefer Haredim says to learn history. My father says, it doesn't mean you have to learn the names of kings, the dates that they ruled, but the trend in history. What happened to learn from history? I think my uncle, he was able to learn from history. And we just have to look back now. Just imagine if we would be under the control of the people in Syria. If we would be under the control of all these Arab leaders. The Jewish people wouldn't survive one day. And it's foolish to think that it's because of the State of Israel that they're anti-Jewish, anti-Semitic. You see what they do to their own. You can imagine what they would do to us. And the Christians in the Arab countries are also have to deal with the Arab leaders. There are all kinds of pogroms against the Christians. But we have to understand, and we're not happy. We're not happy with the government in Israel. But the Rambam, in discussing what was the significance of Hanukkah, he says, V'chazra Malchus to Yisrael. Malchus was returned to the Jewish people for more than 200 years. You know who some of those Malachim were in those 200 years? Even worse than the most anti-religious leaders that ever were in the State of Israel. But the Rambam understood that if we're dependent upon Umos Olam, our lives could be taken away. And this is what my uncle learned from history, and that's why he supported the state of Israel.